CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
That still tickles me every time I hear that.
There it is. It is time to fill up Hugh's holiday stocking. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, alongside Hugh Douglas. Now, here's how the game works. As you try to guess what's in Hugh's holiday stocking, Hugh will give a clue. Then we will take your call. Now, you get one yes or no question to ask Hugh. Then you got to give your guess for what is in Hugh's stocking. And as a reminder, this is something that could be helpful to you. Make sure you are listening to the callers before you so you can keep track of the clues pointing in the right direction here as to what's in Hugh's stocking. So without further ado, Hugh, what is your hint for what's in your stocking
today?
My
hint today is this is a food item.
A food item.
Yeah.
There you go.
Food item.
Okay, this is a food
that
item.
That I'm putting in the stocking.
And by the way, I got to say, that picture yesterday of you in the Santa outfit and Joe in the elf costume was just incredible.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
That was true. Did you dress up for the occasion, Kyle?
No.
Okay, Kyle did not dress up.
I'm too cool for that.
Okay. It is time now to guess what's in Hugh's holiday stocking. We'll start with Nick in Hillsboro. Nick.
What's up, gentlemen? How you doing?
Good, Nick.
We're good.
What is your question for Hugh?
I don't have a question. Is it a gingerbread man?
No.
It is not. I mean,
that's
Nick,
a terrible way to start.
That is a bad
one. That's not how you play.
Nick, it's not how you play. Why would you turn down a free question?
Yeah.
Just a bad start. Terrence in Springfield, be better. What's up, Terrence?
So I can ask the question first?
You can ask a yes or no question. It is a food item.
Okay. Is it a candy?
That's a good question, Terrence.
I'd give it to him.
You say, okay, is it considered a candy? Okay.
In a roundabout way.
Yes, in a roundabout way.
Candy cane?
Nah.
No, it is not a candy cane.
If it was a candy cane, it wouldn't have been that hard to say.
It is a sweet treat.
Yeah, it is.
Let's go to Mike.
What's going on? Let's see. Is it chocolate?
No.
Oh, man. Sugar cookie.
No.
Sorry, I didn't. It was in my ear.
David in Wilmington. David.
Is it hot?
Is it hot?
Yeah. Is it served hot?
No.
Oh, man. I'm going to say just some chocolate, some holiday chocolate.
This is not going great so far. Some of the same guesses here. Let's go, guys. Pick
not
up on
paying
it.
Paying attention.
Listen to the callers ahead of you. You get a yes or no question, and then you guess the item. Let's go to Tom. Tom.
Is there fruit involved?
Yes.
Dude, see... I knew what was happening here. It's a candied apple.
100%, man.
Yes.
Yes.
Are you serious, dude?
Yes.
Yes.
Don't look at me like that. Yes, it is.
I remember the debate. Is it candied? When you handed it on, I knew it.
How did you know that?
Dude, because you remember the debate over a candied
apple.
Yeah,
y'all had a fit. And you know what? Like, we had, you know what's funny? We had a debate about this morning, too, how we were going to do this. And yeah, you got it.
There you go, Tom. So Tom is the winner. Tom wins the qualifying prize, which is a Jack Daniels prize pack. Jack Daniels rocks glasses, two Jack Daniels rocks glasses, Jack Daniels water bottle, Jack Daniels golf tee pack, Jack Daniels playing cards, Jack Daniels Tennessee whiskey clear tote bag. And he's entered for an opportunity to win the grand prize. Jack Daniels Daniels Yeti Cooler, Jack Daniels Cornhole Set, Jack Daniels Giant Jenga, Jack Daniels Wood Smoking Chips, Weber Grill, and a 55-inch smart TV, courtesy of Gerhard's Appliances, thanks to Jack Daniels Tennessee Whiskey, where you can find $3 off Jack Daniels 1.75-liter bottles at your local PA Fine Wine and Good Spirits stores, and Gerhard's Appliances, the heart of the kitchen for over 80 years, where Black Friday continues. Congratulations, Tom.
Holy cow. Thanks, guys. Man, it pays to listen, huh?
Congrats, buddy.
There you go.
Yeah. Yep. Always pays to listen.
Yeah, congratulations to Tom.
Tell your friends.
Wins the qualifying prize, and is in the mix for the grand prize. There you go. Not so hard. Guess what's in your stocking, Hugh?
Yeah, and you know what? He listens to the show. He's one of the listeners to the show, and he got, you know, we had this whole discussion about candied apples.
Yeah.
So he got it.
We did. So good job by Tom for winning the qualifying prize, and he's in the mix for the grand prize. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Candied apple in the stocking, that could get a little messy.
Well, normally they're usually wrapped.
Okay.
You know, so that's what I was thinking. And Tom was kind of on the same page as I was on. So it kind of works.
I haven't had a candied apple in a long time.
No, it's been a minute.
Sounds good, though.
I'm not a big fan.
You're not a big fan of candied apple?
I got these veneers, man. They pull one of these things out, be walking around with the baby tooth looking real crazy. Look, you can't do that, man. I can't do it. I got these fake teeth in my mouth. I got to keep this smile thing going.
There you go. Without further ado, this is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. And now, as we get ready for Backs for Barkley, making the push for Saquon Barkley to win the MVP award, we bring in former Eagles great running back Brian Westbrook. Brian, join us now. Brian, thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Good afternoon, fellas. How's everything going?
Pretty good. Hey, B, I appreciate you being so flexible, man, because full disclosure, I screwed the time that we were supposed to do this. And like B, true teammate he is, man, he's being real accommodating. I appreciate that, man. But B,
anytime, brother.
We've been sitting up here talking about this Saquon Barkley thing and what he's doing this year. Man, what is, when you watch Saquon Barkley, because we had a chance to see Saquon at the game, and we were out there, all the alumni. Man, what is about Saquon that makes him so special in your eyes?
Well, I mean, just think about running backs that we've seen. We've seen power backs, guys that just are big and powerful and strong, and they just run down and mow over people. We've seen smaller guys like myself, scat type of backs that can do, you know, multiple things, but really their size and their quickness is what truly gets them to the next level and allows them to be explosive and make plays. We've also seen speed guys that can just run away from people. They get to the edge and they just run away from people. What makes Saquon so special is that he has all of those things in one package, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. That's what truly makes him special. And so, you know, when you have a guy that can do all of those things, and he's just a great person as well. So, I mean, you're talking about the best of all worlds Saquon possesses. You know, I've seen Saquon, especially in New York, early on in his career, where he was just using his speed to get to the edge. And it was just raw speed getting to the edge and doing certain things. And then what I saw this year is that he was making people miss in the hole. I mean, he was dead to his rights with the linebacker lining them up in between the tackle and the guard. And he's just making people miss in the phone booth. And that's special. It takes a special running back to be able to do that. And we all understand what he was able to do when he jumped backwards over someone, which was a crazy thing to do. But he also has the ability to run away from people, and we've seen that. And I didn't know that he had that ability until really recently, still had that ability until recently. But he's just running away from people, which makes him certainly special. And when you talk about MVP candidates, you talk about people that make the difference in their team. They're so valuable that the team would have a hard time winning without that person. I mean, it's just hard for me to think about anyone other than Saquon Barkley when you mention those types of things.
Yeah, Brian, and when you look at Saquon and the value he provides, a big part of that is because he does something that's not the norm in the NFL anymore. He's a pretty much every down player, three down player, a lot like you were when you played. How much pride did you take in being a guy that could be on the field as much as you were and as much as a guy like Saquon is now?
Well, it was important to me at the time that you know, I wanted the team to feel like there was a void. Something was missing when I wasn't on the field, whether they needed me to block. I needed to stop somebody, a linebacker in the hole. I needed to be able to block that guy. I needed to be able to catch the ball out in the flat or run a route and catch the ball in the middle of the field, or whether it was to run the football. I wanted the team to feel like they were missing something when I wasn't out there. And I think when you look at it, this team is missing something when Saquon Barkley is not out there. It's truly a different type of game when Saquon's out there. And just think about this. And it happened to me when I had T.O. on the team as well. When T.O. was there, the offense ran differently because now you can't have 8 men in the box. You just can't because you have to defend T.O. And typically speaking, you would have that same situation with A.J. Brown because he's so dominant and so explosive with the ball in his hands. But now teams are saying, we have to be cognizant of Saquon Barkley. We have to put 8 or 9 people in the box and be able to win there. And so now when Jalen Hurts stands up to throw the ball to Dallas Goedert or try to throw that slant to A.J. Brown, it's one-on-one with the defender. And A.J. Brown will win that matchup 10 out of 10 times. Devontae Smith would do a great job against those matchups when healthy 10 out of 10 times. And so Saquon Barkley's his impact on the entire field, entire team as a whole has just been tremendous. And it's hard to think about another guy that has that type of impact across the NFL.
When you look at this team and you look at the way that they're playing, do you feel that in order for them to have success or make it to the Super Bowl, that they have to have the number one CB?
I certainly know that they would like it, just like any other team would like it. But does their defense travel? Absolutely. Does their run game travel? Absolutely. Can they make explosive plays down the field because of their run game? Absolutely. Can they make explosive plays in the pass game because the run game is setting it up with the play action pass? 100%. That travels as well. Can Jalen Hurts still get it done with his legs? And does that travel? Absolutely. And so when I see a team that offense feeds off the defense and vice versa, and really the defense feeds off the offense, does that travel well in the NFL playoffs? There's no doubt in my mind that it does. And so as much as I know we want the playoffs to come through Philly, can this team go on the road and win? There's no doubt in my mind that they have the fortitude and the mindset to go on the road and win football games. And we've seen them play very well despite bad starts, over the last, handful of games. They continue to play well. They figure it out and they get things clicking, especially in the second half. And so does that go, does that travel and play well on the road? I think it does.
Formerly Eagle great Brian Westbrook joining us now as we continue our backs for Barkley MVP push here. And Brian, when you look at the running back position, it's been a story the last couple of years in the league, kind of the way it's been devalued, whether it's high draft picks or monetarily. You look at what guys like Saquon is doing this year, what Derrick Henry's doing this year. Do you think this season will kind of change the way running backs have been valued recently?
Well, I think it should. I mean, this is what I truly believe about the NFL. We have, as far as the NFL has overvalued the quarterbacks in so many different ways. They've given quarterbacks crazy money, and the thought process behind that is we have to win because of the quarterback. I don't know that that's necessarily true. Defenses are setting up to stop the quarterback now. They're playing nickel and dime every single down. And that's going to allow running backs like Saquon and like McCaffrey when healthy and Derrick Henry and the kids out there, Gibbs and Montgomery out there in Detroit, when they have the ball in their hands, they're doing nothing except for helping their offense. They're leading their offense in so many different ways, and it takes the pressure off of the quarterback. So now when a defense is playing nickel and dime with 2 DBs or 1 DB in the game, now it's time for Saquon Barkley and that offensive line to take over. And now the value of the running back will continue to go up. And so because defenses are now set up to stop the pass, the run game will continue to reign supreme if you're committed to it. The Eagles have done a great job of being committed to it, whether you're getting stopped early in the first quarter or even the second quarter. They're saying our offensive line is willing enough and good enough to lean on you for 4 straight quarters. And will you be able to stop Saquon for a loss in the third quarter? It hasn't happened. Will you be able to do it in the fourth quarter? That hasn't happened either. They've been committed enough to it. And because of that, running backs like Saquon and Derrick Henry and those other guys that I've mentioned will continue to eat and play very well. And at some point, teams are going to notice that and say, okay, you know what? Maybe we should go back to valuing the running backs a little bit more.
You know what, B, I'm curious. I don't know how much college football you watch, but the success that these teams that are having running the ball, you talk about Derrick Henry. You talk about those two young running backs that they have up there in Detroit, and you talk about Saquon Barkley. How much do you think this could potentially benefit the young running backs that are coming in this draft this year? And the one guy that I have in mind is the Ashton Jeanty. He's a young running back from Boise State, man. I don't know how much college football you've been watching, but, man, this young cat right here looks like a throwback. So with all of that being said, how much do you think it's going to help these young running backs that are coming up in the league this year?
Well, there will be teams that say, how do I help my quarterback? And it's my belief that there may be five or six good quarterbacks that can carry a football team, whether you have a running game or not. It may not even be that many in the NFL right now, and especially come out of college. It's hard to get a young guy to come and just be that franchise quarterback early on. So you need a run game to be able to help them. I mean, just imagine if Chicago, that has a young, talented quarterback in Caleb Williams, just imagine if they had a strong run game. That would not only help him, that would allow him to develop at his own pace because you have a run game behind him. So, yes, of course, the running backs coming out in the draft will benefit from what's happening with Saquon and boys up there in Detroit as well as Derrick Henry, because now teams have to be able to notice that maybe my quarterback's not great, but if I establish a run game, it makes it so much easier because now passing lanes are bigger. Now I don't have to depend on my quarterback to win me games every single week. And so, of course, they would certainly benefit.
Former Eagle running back Brian Westbrook on with us now. And, Brian, just a couple more quick ones for you. One of the things we were talking about today was final week of the season. Say there's a situation where the Eagles have their seeding locked up, whether it's a one or the two seed. But Saquon is within reach of that all-time rushing record for a single season. Curious to get your take as a former running back. If you're Saquon, would you want to go for it if it's within reach in that spot?
You know, I'm not sure what Saquon would want. Personally, I would want it.
Yeah.
And as a running back, I would want it for myself, you know, of course, selfishly, but I would want it for my offensive line. That means a lot to an offensive line. I talked to guys that were part of Eric Dickerson's record-setting year, and the offensive line was just as proud of that year as Eric Dickerson was. I've talked to guys, that obviously, that blocked for Emmitt, and they're just as proud of what Emmitt was able to accomplish throughout that time as Emmitt was. And think about this, and no one really talks about it a lot, but I see it on every long run. I see A.J. Brown, a Pro Bowl wide receiver, all-pro wide receiver, downfield blocking. I see Devontae Smith. Obviously, Dallas Goedert does a great job at the end of the line. I see the wide receivers blocking. So to me, they care as well. So if you have an opportunity to go after that record, I certainly would want to. I know the question always is, well, is it the record, or do you're more concerned with being healthy? I think especially if you get that one seed, you'll have a week off, so you'll have some time to get healthy and have some rest as well. But if I'm close enough to that record, that's a milestone. That's a statement for your career. I certainly would go after it.
And one more for you here, Brian. Obviously, the big talk is around Saquon and the MVP award. Do you think, considering what he's done this year, Saquon should win the MVP?
There's no doubt in my mind. And maybe I'm just too close to it. Maybe I'm too invested at the running back position. Maybe I'm too invested in Philadelphia. But I truly believe when you talk about having the best season in the NFL, Saquon is having that, especially if he gets that rushing title. There's no doubt in my mind. The only other person that I could consider at this point, maybe Josh Allen, if you're talking about a quarterback. But there's no other position in the NFL, player in the NFL, that's having the impact that Saquon is having. He has, you know, great plays. You look at his highlight film. I mean, you're talking about long runs. He has long runs. He has amazing plays, jumping over people. He has catches in the end zone where he's barely getting his feet in bounds. He's doing special things this year. That's the definition of MVP, doing special things and allowing and helping your team to win. He is the true MVP. There's no doubt about it in my mind.
Well, former Eagle great running back Brian Westbrook, thank you so much for joining us, Brian, to talk about Saquon in this incredible season. Thanks for hopping on today.
Thanks a lot, B. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right, thank you to Brian Westbrook. How about that, Hugh? No doubt in his mind.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is a special season for a number of reasons, but it's really special because of what Saquon Barkley has brought to the table. What he, along with Derrick Henry and the young running backs from Detroit have brought back to the game. Man, I tell you, it was great to see, just like watching all these NFL shows that are being played now, to see all the running backs of my time. Christian Okoye, good to see him. Bo Jackson, grew up being a big Bo Jackson fan. Eric Dickerson, and to have all of those guys, you know, talk about waxing nostalgic. Barry Sanders, and talking about what the game used to be, and it looks like we're starting to get a little bit of that back. And on top of that, I mentioned a young back from Boise State, Ashton Jetney. He's a young guy who I know a lot of people don't watch a lot of those games, but man, when you see what he's able to do, it just makes you wonder what it's going to look like when he gets into the league. Bijan Robinson, another guy Kyle was high on. You look at these young running backs, man, and it just feels like there has been a resurgence in the need of a position that just, 2 years ago, looked like it was on life support.
Yeah, it feels like it's come back. And when you look at Brian, and that's why Brian, I thought, was such a special player. And you talk about guys grew up watching. I mean, Brian was one of the guys I grew up watching and loving to watch play, because he was so unique as a smaller guy. Like, you look at Saquon, Derrick Henry, they're what you'd envision three-down backs to be. But Brian was a three-down back while being a smaller guy.
Yeah, man. And I never forget when Brian had that 2,000 all-purpose yards a year.
Yeah, it 06 and 07.
Man,
he was
listen,
incredible.
It's Lil Boots, man, was the guy. Like, he was hard. My biggest fear when we used to do scout team when he was a younger player was when he was in space, I had nightmares. When we were playing, like, we were getting ready to play Marshall Faulk, and he would have to play Marshall Faulk, and they say, Hugh, you have, if we call a blitz and he leaks out, you have to pick him up. And B would, man, listen. You talk about nightmares, because he's so small, and when he catches the ball, he turns around and it's almost like he just freezes you. You know what I mean? So he was a special player, man. No question about it.
You know, as a kid playing Madden too, most unstoppable play. Four verticals, Brian Westbrook, halfback option coming
man,
out of the backfield.
Nightmares.
You complete it every time.
Man,
Brian
nightmares.
Westbrook gets a middle linebacker every single time.
I just wanted to point out, because Hugh, I'm glad you brought up Bijan in front of TK. Who was starving for a Skoronski guy. I mean,
we were both wrong.
Well, sure.
Juicing for Jay.
But I was way closer to the right side of history. Like, I was trying to get a good running back behind this offensive
Skoronski's
line for a while.
Playing, right?
Screw Skoronski.
He's
okay?
Fine. He's
no,
good.
Listen, we got a running back here, and he's only just about to break the NFL rushing record and win the MVP. So,
okay.
I would just like to say,
Bijan, I was right. Bijan is not Saquon.
No, he's not. But the point is, a good running back plus this O-line was a good thing. Your guard. They signed Becton and everything was fine.
You still wanted them to take Bijan over Jalen Carter. That would have been a terrible pick.
Not necessarily. I didn't think Jalen Carter would be there.
I think we can agree we're both wrong. Okay, Jalen Carter was the right pick, right?
Not going there.
Well,
that's the way I'll look at it. Maybe Bijan. I don't know. I got to check Skoronski's stats. I got to see how many pancakes
like,
he's got.
Guard stats?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear your breakdown on guard stats.
Yeah, he's playing guard.